Kia ora, Nicola. Kia te whakarongo mai koe ki te pūrongo o te pautūtanga. You're with Midday Report. I'm Marnie Dunlop and it's time now for the rural news with Kim Moody in Ōtautahi. Kia ora, Kim, and the shearing sector is trying to retain workers by increasing their pay.
Kia ora, Marnie. That's right. Shearing gangs around the country have been short-staffed ever since the border closed, as workers normally travel between New Zealand and Australia for work. But even now, with the borders open, the shortage hasn't eased. The Shearing Contractors Association is recommending companies raise the minimum rates shearers are paid. It's outlined what increases should be applied across different jobs in the industry, with pay increases of between 7 and 23%. Association Executive Officer Phil Holden says the industry needs to ensure it attracts and maintains quality staff.
We're in a really, really tight labour market. We want to retain the staff that we have and not lose them to other sectors. And equally, we want to make sure that our people maintain their relevance with other sectors. It's less about the shearers and more about the wool handlers and the pressers and those people. So we're definitely hearing that. And that's been the pain point for our members and our contractors, is getting people into those roles because they have other options.
Phil Holden says many contractors are already paying above the new recommended rates, but says that won't solve the labour shortages overnight. He says the industry's looking at other ways it can incentivise jobs in the sector.
Well, look, I think always the working conditions and the working environment's important. So, you know, our farmer clients are doing their bit in terms of that the wool shed presentation and environment's going to be really important. There are a lot of benefits for working in our sector in terms of, you know, the lifestyle opportunities that it presents and being part of a team. So, you know, I'd like to think some of those things present some opportunity for people or something to consider. The biggest thing is that the association recognises that we can't keep chucking money at this issue. You know, we need to have a far more sustainable training platform so that we're bringing new people into the sector and training them and supporting them appropriately. And that's where we've been putting a lot of energy.
Phil Holden says New Zealand's wool harvesting industry, and especially its merino products, have made huge gains overseas. And he doesn't want labour shortages to jeopardise that. The Prime Minister says dairy giant Fonterra is ready and willing to send baby formula over to the United States amid its current shortage, but strict regulations are holding them up. One of the country's largest producers was forced to close in February following contamination concerns, causing a nationwide shortage. The US has since eased rules to increase imports of baby formula, but it's still an incredibly tough market to get into. New Zealand this week signed up to the Indo-Pacific Economic Framework with more than a dozen other countries, which was launched by US President Joe Biden. Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern hopes it increases trade between the two countries.
Still on the table are discussions around whether the Indo-Pacific Economic Framework would be an enabler to remove some of the non-tariff barriers that exist to trade. A clear example: the United States is going through a crisis of sorts with infant formula. Fonterra is ready and willing to supply to the market, but there are a number of regulatory reasons why that is not easy. Those are the kinds of discussions we're very keen to have.
Fonterra says it's been able to fly ingredients to formula manufacturers in the US to help and has applied to send finished formula product over. The Ashburton District Council is investigating closing the historic Pudding Hill stockwater intake. Opened in 1818, it was the first intake of the stockwater network, which takes water from the north branch of the Ashburton River. But now it's not compliant as it doesn't have fish screens, and at a cost of $300,000 to $600,000, the council is reluctant to invest. The council told the local Democracy Reporting Service it's looking to close the intake, but will first investigate what impact a closure would have on stakeholders. Time now for the latest from the sale yards around the country. To tell us more, we're joined by Suze Bremner, a senior analyst at AgriHQ. Kia ora, Suze. What's been happening this week?
Hi, Kim. Well, the store lamb market continues to trade in a very positive atmosphere. The season is marching on, though, and while we are seeing peak throughput at most of the yards, the buyers are all too aware that the supply of the male lambs will soon run out. So that's meant that any that are being offered in volume are being snapped up on a very competitive market.
So what are we seeing for prices?
Well, at recent lamb sales on both islands, store male lambs have consistently averaged $140 to $175. Mixed-sex lines are also being subjected to an increase in competition, as they, of course, provide another avenue to secure male lamb, though they are more common in the South Island than the North at this time of year. So prime mixed-sex lines at South Island yards have sold on a very strong market, as most are trading around $160 to $220.
And it was a bit quieter on the store cattle front this week.
It was a little bit quieter as everyone starts to hunker down for winter. The prices for quality cattle are holding up still, but there is limited interest to any lesser types as farmers aren't so keen to winter these on. So Wellsford had one of the bigger yardings this week, and yep. R2 dairy beef heifers averaged 340 kilos and $2.64 a kilogram.
Thanks, Suze. That's Suze Bremner from AgriHQ. And lastly, a Canterbury vegetable grower says recently installed solar panels will provide 40% of its electricity needs. Oakley's Premium Fresh Vegetables installed 564 solar panels in March. Managing Director Robin Oakley says they want to lower their environmental footprint and set an example for other farmers and growers. And the solar system, which will be paid off in 7 years, is part of that.
Because it's all about reducing the impact on what we're doing. And initially I thought, well, why put solar on if we're using hydro-generated power down here? That's really not making any big gains in the big scheme of things. But then I had another viewpoint that if we're not using hydro power here, it can get sent to the North Island where they're burning coal to generate power. So every bit of power that we generate here is more hydro power that can get sent through to the North Island, less coal being burnt.
That's Robin Oakley, and you can hear more on this story on Country Life tonight after 9 and tomorrow morning after the 7 o'clock news. That wraps up the rural news for this week. Koe rā te porongo o te tai whenua.